go over and eat a bit, little bit with us, fellowship a little bit with us. And I know sometimes in the evenings it's a little harder because you got to get up and go the next morning. But we want you to give you an opportunity to do that. But Proverbs 21 and John chapter 3, and I wanted to review this because I've thought about this often. I was not very familiar with this, even though I grew up around church. I'd not really heard much teaching and preaching on these two passages of Scripture, which really, probably I wasn't paying attention. It probably was. I probably was goofing off or something. I'm sure it was my fault. I'm not blaming anyone. But I still have not heard much, and it's a very important teaching because it is out of John chapter 3. And many of you know John chapter 3. In fact, let's begin at John chapter 3. Let's begin there, John chapter 3. And if you were here last week, you know what we're going to talk about. But in John chapter 3, of course, Jesus is teaching Nicodemus here in the book of John. He is talking to him about the new birth, about what that means, about sin and the curse of sin and how sin is taken care of. And of course, this is the famous, John chapter 3 is one of the most well-known chapters in all Scripture. It is where Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, except a man be born again." And there's a struggle between Nicodemus. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, verse 9, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said unto him, verse 10, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" And what was happening here is Nicodemus was doing like a lot of people are doing. He was looking at things through the eyes of the flesh, and they are not, the Bible cannot be understood through the carnal mind. It has to be understood through the spiritual mind. And Jesus is emphasizing this. And verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Talking about himself here. Make sure I'm good. All right. And verse 14, and it says this now, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." Nicodemus would have been very familiar with this. And so Jesus draws his attention back to a very well-known story within the nation of Israel. And it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then a verse that you may have heard of, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," right? Now, when we see that verse, it is connected to, now let's go back to Numbers 21. And many of you are going to know this, but I think it's worth us, because we're talking about the title of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the brazen serpent. So let's go back and see, where does this come from? Jesus uses this of all the things that he could use. He uses this as an illustration of himself. He says, "As Moses." And so what did Moses do? Well, let's go back in Numbers chapter 21. And the Bible says in verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." And you know, when you get discouraged, you kind of do things you shouldn't do sometimes. And that's what happened. "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." I'm just giving you a little bit of review. We talked about this last week. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents," and we would call that poisonous serpents, "among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, I was studying some things about this serpent of brass. I've been studying this quite a bit. How many of y'all familiar with this message and this story account in Scripture? And you said, "Well, I heard it last week, right? Well, I read it to you last week." But this is this brazen serpent, and the Lord uses this in John chapter 3 to really talk of himself and what takes place and the connection with looking to Christ with the nation of Israel, God's people, looking to this brazen serpent. The brass, of course, has the idea of judgment. It represents judgment. And in fact, brass has a reddish tint to it. I read one preacher that talked about it, reminding us of the blood of Christ. You have to be a little bit careful with symbolism. I've always stayed away from it because I'm not an expert at it. But the Bible does have symbolism in it, and there are things in it we can learn. But this is pretty obvious, and this is pretty easy to see, and that is this message of the brazen serpent. Now, last week we talked about the punishment of the people and how serious God took complaining, because this story needs to be unpacked, as they say. It needs to be not just read through. You know, we kind of read through John chapter 3, and John chapter 3 is a very deep thing. When you talk about being born again, we're talking about life-altering, eternity-altering teaching in John chapter 3. Jesus is really turning the whole world upside down by his teaching. He is making an exclusive claim to truth that he is the Son of Man. It is that serpent, that go-between, that representation of healing, that's Christ himself, that you have to look to him. He said, as Moses, so I need to be lifted up. And so we talked about how serious God took the punishment. And then what I want to look at tonight, is I want to talk about this prayer of the people. And we see that they prayed to the Lord. And what I want to do is I want to share with you two thoughts, and I've got several things underneath these two thoughts about the prayer of the people. And then next week we'll close it out with this plan for deliverance, because God makes a way to deliver. But we got to understand the problem, and then we've got to understand the prayer. Now, we call this the prayer meeting, and church is a place that we ought to pray. Bible, Jesus said men ought always to pray. In fact, when you think of church, you think of prayer and Bible reading and singing and preaching. I mean, that's really the basic fundamental nuts and bolts. Think of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And can I say this to you tonight? When you get away from those basic things in church, there's not a lot of Bible on some of the stuff that goes on today. But in the Word of God, we see prayer, we see fellowship of the brethren, we see the breaking of bread, we see the Lord's table, baptism, the singing of psalms, we see the basic things of church. That will never change according to the Word of God. Now, prayer is a part of that. Here we see a prayer that these people made, and I want to talk about two. I say these people, these were God's people. And I want to talk about two things that I want you to just think with me tonight. I've got 2 points and 17 subpoints, literally. Everybody ready? Number one, write this down. I know you're not going to have room on this part of your sheet here, because I should have given you more room. But number one, I'm going to write this down, and we need to hear this tonight. God got their attention. Did y'all write that down? Did y'all hear that? God, the Lord, Jehovah, he got their attention. Human beings are prone, we're like sheep. We are easily led astray. We have a hard time paying. Somebody said, I'm so poor, I can't even pay attention. And isn't that the way we are? Maybe you're not that way. Maybe you do better. I have a hard time. It's a kind of a joke in my family. My wife will grab me by the face and say, listen to me, because if she doesn't, I'd always listen. And I have a hard time paying attention. And I really have to focus on it. I probably have something wrong with me. Don't y'all say amen, but anyway. But God got their attention. And I wrote this down tonight. I want you to just think about this. And I've got several things that I think we can see in our life and around us, the way that God gets our attention. It is so important, because C.S. Lewis writes about this in some of his writings about living in a spiritual fog. I think it's in Mere Christianity he writes about it. And that Satan keeps the world in this fog. If you remember, the Bible says that Satan hath blinded them lest they believe the glorious gospel. He's blinding the world. He keeps the shades pulled. He keeps the mist in the fog. You ever tried to drive in the fog? If it gets thick, you can't hardly see the car in front of you. You may have to pull off, because it's just, you can't hardly make your way. That's what Satan does. And we have a hard time not We have a hard time focusing on the things of God because we're in this spiritual, you know, we get into the minutiae of life, as they say. And the next thing you know, you end up saying, man, I didn't get saved when I was a kid. I didn't get saved here. I need to get back in church. I need to get my life right. And Satan keeps just dragging us. And sometimes it takes the Lord getting our attention. A divine interruption is what I would say. And here in this account, I believe we see the Lord because they were complaining. And the Lord said, I'm not putting up with this. And they're not listening. They're not repenting on their own. And so I'm going to get their attention. I'm going to make sure that they focus on me. They don't have any choice. And we see this in Scripture quite a bit. We see many times that God can get your attention. How many of y'all know tonight? How many of you know this tonight? God has a way of getting our attention. Now, I don't know about you. I'm a wimp when it comes to this. So I'm like, Lord, I would rather give it to you now than get a whipping. I didn't like getting whippings growing up. I don't know if y'all did or not, but I did not. And so I was like, you know what? I need to go ahead and get this fixed now so I won't have to deal with this trouble. But we are like sheep. We have all gone astray. So sometimes it takes dramatic things to get our attention. It's pretty dramatic to get snake bit and die. And the Lord's, it's a punishment. Now, I wrote down several things, and you can write down some things in your life that can get your attention. Now, some of these can be very serious. And let me say this to you tonight. I am not making light at all. I'm taking this very serious. So please don't take this and be offended by it. I'm not meaning it. This may hit somebody here tonight. It may hit your family. I know it's going to hit me and some of my family. And so I don't mean this about anybody personally. But some of your all's testimonies would say, hey, this is the way God got my attention. This is what it took because of my own hard-headedness, my stubbornness, my sinfulness. It took God doing this to get my attention. I wrote down several here. I think I got 10 tonight, and then you can add some to it. In fact, I want to ask some maybe if I missed. I wrote these down. Number one would be trials. When you go through trials, we say a trial. The Bible talks about trials and tribulations or trials and temptations. Trials in our life, and they can be all kinds of different things. One person's bad day is another person's trial. God can get your attention through a trial because it may take you going through something before you finally say, you know what, it might be good if I talk to the creator of the universe because I need some divine intervention. Trials cause it. We prayed tonight for a prayer list. Number two, write this. If you write things down, health can cause it. I've shared the testimony of my own stepdad. He got colorectal cancer at 41 years old. And it was just a battle for 9 years. He passed away at 50 or 51. And but before then, he would not have anything to do with the Lord, really. He was a decent guy, but he would not really have listened to anything about the Lord. But God changed that and got his attention. And in the big scheme of things, it's the best thing that ever happened to him because he got saved, got right with the Lord. Now, that doesn't make, I'm not making light of colorectal cancer at all. It's horrible. And he went through some horrible times. But God has a way of getting your attention when he takes your health away. Evangelist Tim Lee, who's still preaching, by the way, had both of his legs from the kneecaps down blown away in Vietnam. He was a Marine. He goes around the country preaching, still preaching. In fact, he preached not too long ago for C.T. Townsend. And you know, he'll point down and said, God has a way of getting your attention. And we know this. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it takes something very drastic. I wrote this down. This would be similar to trials. I think it's more intense, and that would be the word burdens. God has a way of burdening us. Sometimes a burden can be something that's just gnaws at you. I think it's a little bit different than just a specific trial. Sometimes we're burdened about things that maybe nobody else is burdened about. Maybe you have anxiety or depression or discouragement, and you just have burdens. Maybe it's something nobody else would even understand. In fact, sometimes I've learned this, what somebody else calls a burden, you say, well, that's just a normal day. Everybody has a different perspective, but burdens have a way of getting our attention. I wrote this one down because I've seen this happen so many times, especially like in our state, and that's money. Now, people love money. We know that. The love of money is the root of what? All evil. Now, that doesn't mean money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. But let me say this, when you don't have enough money, it'll really wear on you. And sometimes when you can't make it, you have a way of saying, you know what, Lord, I need you. Lord, we're going to have you. It's sad to say tonight, but some of my most intense and sincere prayers have been like, Lord, if you don't provide, I don't know what we're going to do. And if you've ever went through it rough, you know, where you can't make it, don't have any bread, can't make it, you understand that tonight. Some folks never understand the burden that money can have on a person. But money can absolutely ride on you like a saddle. And Satan will use it against you, get you out of church, get you away from God. But sometimes God will use it to get your attention. I wrote this one down. This one's probably more personal, and I want to be very careful about this. And that's family. We see it in Scripture. We know that we think of Absalom in the Word of God, David's son. We think of David and Bathsheba. They lost their child. We know that there's some very serious scenes in Scripture when it comes to family. I mean, we forget tonight. One thing, if you've watched Chosen, you've been reminded that, you know, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And the Lord, he reprimanded and got on. He didn't just reprimand. He preached and said it was wrong for you to have your brother's wife. And they cut his head off. And so, man, there's been some burdens in Scripture are recorded. And God has a way of using our family sometimes. I always think of Brother Rick Childers. I don't think you'd mind me sharing this. Brother Rick, his dad passed away. And Brother Rick will tell you in his testimony, he said, it took two men for God to save me to die. And that was my dad died, so I'd pay attention to the Lord. And, of course, the message of Jesus dying for me on the cross. And it took that death to get his family to get his attention. And I've heard that more than once. I've heard men say, hey, I heard my daughter praying. I tell my testimony about my mom praying. I was cold. I wouldn't listen to things she said. I come out of my room one night and I heard her praying for me. And I was trying to act tough. Boy, that thing got... My mom's Pentecostal, so they can pray. And she's in there praying, and that thing got to me now. Got to me. I wouldn't tell anybody for a long time. And I'd be driving down the road and hear my mama praying. That got to me. I never got over it, actually. And we believe differently, but I sure thank God she prayed. Amen? And God has a way of getting your attention. Family can be that. I got to be very careful about that. I don't mean anything by that. Situations. Write this down. Another one I wrote down is situations. How many of y'all know you can get into some situations? And situations have a way of saying, you know what? I never dreamed I'd be here. Okay, Lord, you got my attention. I remember several years ago, I hadn't been pastor long enough, and a guy had overdosed accidentally. He had some things happen to him. He got into some dope and drugs he shouldn't have got into. And I had been witnessing to him and visiting him. And so I found out he was in the hospital. I went to see him. And he looked. I never will forget that. He said, preacher, you're the only person to come to see me. The only person to come to see me. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord's trying to tell you something. All these buddies didn't come. Even his family didn't come. But I came to see him. I said, hey, I just want to talk to you about the Lord. I never saw him again after that, by the way. You never know what God is doing. God is working. But situations come. And the Lord's gotten my attention many times. I've had situations the last 2 days that are funny and creepy all at the same time. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you wanting from me? I'm listening. Situations. How about this one? I wrote this one down. This one's negative, and I don't like it, but worries. If you have, now some of y'all don't battle worrying. Some of y'all are worry warts. You worry about everything all the time. Those who are prone to worry, sometimes people that are conscientious, that really care, worry because they care about how things go. Nothing wrong with caring. It's a fine line between concern and caring and worry. Hard to differentiate between the two, but God sometimes allows those concerns to become so that he'll get our attention. Like, Lord, this is bothering me. I need to give it to you. He has a way of doing that. Obviously, you think about the text that we're looking at, the nation of Israel. I'd be worried about snakes, wouldn't you? I saw a young man, he was on some social media, and he was showing how, this is crazy to me, he was showing how docile cottonmouths are. You know what a cottonmouth is? And I said, son, you can have a stick all you want to, and you can show me that snake all you want to. You should have just ran it over. Don't tell me how, and if y'all love snakes, no offense, but if I see a cottonmouth, water moccasin, I'm just assuming it's up to no good. It ain't going to do any good with me, I can tell you that. I would be worried. I'd be worried. Would y'all be worried? I'd be worried. I mean, I'm not wanting to be around. And so the same thing took place. Worry. Then obviously, here's another one. Accidents take place. Accidents happen. I think sometimes I look at the world, we see things happen, and it might be good for the world to stop and we see all these things take place. You know, it may be good for us to acknowledge that we are mortal men, that we make mistakes, that our bodies fail, that our brains fail, that we are men. At the best, we're just men. We see buildings falling. It's on national news. But it seems like it doesn't get our attention. You would think, well, wait a minute, we might want to acknowledge we can't stop a hurricane, may want to pay attention. We are not stopping floods. You know, somebody was arguing with me about flooding in Miami, and yet there's a drought out west. Well, guess who's in control of all that? It might be good for us to pay attention. I wrote down disasters. Sometimes disasters take place. So God gets our attention. And then sometimes, I wrote this one down. It's a little scary to write this down. I wrote down this one for you to think about tonight. Satan. There are times, and we see the perfect account of this in Scripture, and that was a man by the name of Job. And God uses Job as an illustration to Satan. He said, consider my servant Job. And we see what happens to Job. It's an interesting thing. Now, there's a lot of discussion about that. But God, now I don't want that attention. I can tell you that right now. Like, Lord, you got me. I don't want that scary movie scene in my life. I do not want that at all. And so God can use these things to get our attention. Wouldn't it be good tonight, church, just from a pastor's perspective, if God got my attention and your attention, all of our attention as a church and as a church family, without having to use something drastic? Say, Lord, you got, I'm good. How many of y'all, when your children do something, isn't it good if they just listen and you don't have to ground them or spank them or, you know, take something away to say, listen to me? You think, oh man, this kid's doing good. Well, we ought to be that way. I know I want to be that way. Now, let me take just about 2 or 3 minutes here. Tell me something that you think God can get your attention that maybe I left off my list. That's 10. That's pretty big. It covers a lot of ground. But does anybody have something just off the top of your head? Yes. Relationships. You're exactly right, because a broken heart can get your attention. It absolutely can. Yes. Straight out conviction. Now that's Holy Spirit. I should put that top of the list. The Holy Spirit has a way of convicting you, making you miserable. Making you miserable. It's a good miserable, though. Those are good. Those are two good ones. That's better than my list. Y'all doing good. Anybody else have one? Just pops in that you've thought about. God can use anything, by the way. I remember when David Rutherford, several years ago, he called me, had me meet him there at the school. He was under conviction, and this is what happened. He saw a sign on the side of the road that said, Jesus loves you. That was it. And he came to me, and he was crying. He said, does he really? Does he? He got to the point where that sign, now, obviously, the Lord's using all kinds of things. But that sign got to him. That sign did it. You never know, do you? God can use all kinds of things to get our attention. Anybody else have anything? It can be something small, too, by the way. Yeah. Caused by name. Yep. That's right, in Scripture. We see several in Scripture. We see several in Scripture. Those are good. Anybody else? Before we move on, have a way. You never know. By the way, everybody's testimony is a little bit different. Sometimes it's preaching. Thank God for that. Sometimes it's the church. Sometimes it's teaching. I know when I was away from the Lord, if I drove by a church, I got under conviction. If I got near a preacher, I had family members who were in church and I was out of church, and I got under conviction. So the Lord uses all kinds of things. And part of my testimony, I actually saw a preacher on television who preached that everybody was okay. And I knew better. And I said, wait a minute. Somebody write about this guy. I said, I know from the way I was raised that I am not what I need to be. So when you tell me I'm okay, I knew it was a lie. I said, well, I know I'm a mess in need of God to intervene in my life. So God can use things. Now, so that's number one. God got their attention. But then number two, write this down. We're going to spend just a few more minutes. We're going to dismiss. They got serious in their prayer time. Because we're talking about the prayer of the people. We're talking about Jesus being the brazen serpent. And Jesus is using this illustration. So we got to look at it closely, because Jesus is likening this to himself now. So God has a way of getting our attention, because when we look and say, wait a minute, so Jesus is teaching us that we have been bit, and we've got this bite of the fiery serpent, and the only way we can get right is to look and live. We have the hymn book. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it's only that you look and live. Look and live. Have y'all know that song? Look to Jesus now and live. That is actual from the Scripture. So this is the teaching that Christ is getting across to us. Now, here's some things about their prayer that we can learn about our prayer when it comes to this situation. I'm going to give you five words and be real quick. Number one, they got specific with their prayer. You'll notice what it says back in verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. They didn't say, hey, there's a misunderstanding. Or, you know, we didn't mean to quit. You know, we live in a hem haul, beat around the bush world. You ever notice that? We kind of like, well, you know, we have a lot of pauses in our, well, Lord, it's me and everything. We don't know what to say. They went specific. You got right to it, boom, right to it. The world don't like this. The world don't like this type of preaching. They don't like this type of teaching. Our flesh don't like it. Our friends don't like it. Sometimes I don't like it. Well, that's direct. In fact, here's what happens. People in the world say, well, that preacher's rude. That church is rude. Here, this was a rude situation. People were getting snake bit. They said, Lord, we've sinned. We've sinned. Get all of it away. Let's quit making excuses. We could say, well, I was my mom and dad and them and everything. My mom and this young man messaged me last night and was telling me about his life, and he's into stuff he shouldn't be into. And he looked at me and he said, well, my mom and dad got me going on. I said, young man, you need to be a man, not listen to everybody around you. Be a reverse rebel. Don't if your parents are leading you astray, don't do that. I know this is on Facebook Live, but I tell any young man that. And I won't get into what all he was doing because he'll know who it is. But he got specific. He said, we've sinned. Can I say this to you tonight? Until we get specific in our prayers, so Lord, I need to confess it right now. This is what it is. Instead of beating around the bush. You know what I'm saying when I say beating around the bush tonight? Number two, they were repentant. They said, we have sinned. And then they said, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he take away the service from us. I mean, it's just very compact, very sincere, and it's repentant. They didn't try to make excuses. One of the things that's hurting our society right now, and I think all of us know this, is we have an excuse for everything. We're easily offended on one end, and we have an excuse for everything on the other end. And by the way, let me just say this. This has nothing to do with the message. Let me just throw this in, because this is coming as your pastor. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to say this tonight. Hollywood and the media are going to, the next thing you're going to battle is the normalization of pedophilia. It's coming, church. We have to be ready. Because the next thing that's going to happen is when they start saying, well, I identify as a child. I identify as a 13-year-old. And they're going to try. It's already happening. One actress came out and spoke out against this. And they just absolutely are on the attack mode against her. I'll probably get banned from Facebook by saying it. But that is coming. It's not as innocent. You know, all you Christians are bigoted. But if we cannot stand against pedophilia, I don't know where we can stand. And that's coming. Well, you're overstating it. Really? They're passing the laws all around us. It's happening. And it's coming. And then we're going to stand there and say, I can't believe that happened. And we have got to repent and get things right with God. So, specific, they repented. Let me say thirdly, thing about their prayer, they were serious. Can I say this to you tonight? And I don't mean this to be mean. It's Wednesday night. But there's too many people that are more committed to sports and hobbies and Hollywood, movies, all these, whatever it is, than the Lord. Right here, they got snake. When you get snake bit, you realize you're snake bit, you're going to get, I mean, when they bring little Adeline to our house, I look her up from head to toe. Does she have a bite? Does she have a bruise? I'm taking her to the emergency room right now. Anybody else like that? I am. I'm watching everything. So, man, I'm getting her to doc pronto. Right? We got a little baby back here. When we would look over at little baby head to toe, make sure she don't have a tick. I hate ticks. Right? I mean, we're watching. I mean, last night I had to go out in the middle of the night and get a book out of the van. I was shining my light everywhere. I was like, man, if any animals out here, I'm going to look. By the way, I looked up on the roof. My cat was on the very tip top of the roof. I didn't know they did that. But anyway. But you got to get serious about it. Get serious. Because snake bites are serious. Snake bites are serious. And then another thing that happened to them, and they had to get this way. This is inferred in the text. They were broken. Now, being broken is not fun and easy. But you got to get there. Not if you're going to pray. So here's what happened. In John chapter 3, you must be born again. You got to get broke to get born again. You can't sit there to God and say, I'm okay. No, Jesus said, you got to be born again. You kept there and said, well, sin's not that bad. No, you're a sinner. Just as the fiery serpents, you've been bitten. You don't know how bad that really truly is. You are doomed. So we can't come to the Lord not broken. We have to come to the Lord, I've been snake bit and I need you. That's the whole picture of this brazen serpent of Christ. And we have to get broken. Because they said this, we have sinned for we have spoken against the Lord. Can you? Now wait a minute. They said we've spoken against. Now wait a minute. They spoke against the Lord. You know how dangerous that is? You know how there's people that are lost and will not come to church, but they'll tell you they don't use certain words in their language because they don't want to speak against God. That's how brazen our culture is becoming. Now we speak against God. We have to be very careful. They spoke against God. And then the last thing, and I wrote this down tonight. I see it in the text here. They were specific. They were repentant. They were serious. They were broken. And it was quick. Too often, listen to me tonight, too often we wait. What are we waiting on? What are we going to wait on? Too often we say, well, later on. Later on. Too often. You know, I tried to preach a funeral service yesterday of someone who took their life. I'm sorry. This is pretty serious to me. We can't sit there and say, well, you know, and everything. I might show up and ever say this if I can just lead them astray, keep leading them astray, and keep leading them astray. They said it quickly. They said, Lord, because we don't see them. We don't really see. Now, again, we get to heaven. And I don't want to misinterpret the scripture here, but I don't really see a big distance of time between them saying, wait a minute, God got our attention, and we did it quick. We repented quickly. We prayed quickly. We got things right quickly. I mean, make haste to get to the Lord. You remember the prodigal? It says, he ran home and the father ran to him. I remember preaching, Ellis Wall got saved here. I hadn't been pastor very long, and I remember preaching the message, he ran, and Ellis Wall came forward and got saved. You've got to make haste to the Lord. Too many people think, oh, I've got plenty of time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We know this, by the way, don't we? And John chapter 3 is telling us this. This message of Jesus Christ being the brazen serpent, it's a whole detailed story. Like, oh, wait a minute. He is making a claim here that he is the same thing. That if you look to him, I mean, this was a supernatural event that took place. Now, I believe it took place. I believe it took place just as Jesus said. Now, there's some scholars that would say, well, it has symbolism and meaning, but Jesus said as. I believe he's describing it. There's two things I was thinking as I was driving about, there's another place in Scripture that the scholars have always scoffed at, except Jesus made it a claim, and that is Jonah and Noel. Because Jesus said, as Jonah was, and he likened his life. So there's two supernatural events. The story of Jonah and the whale, which we know is a famous story. We've loved it since we were children. And the story of the fiery serpent. And Jesus, he puts his, if I can say it this way, stamp of Messiah approval on those two accounts in the Old Testament. And so to say that you believe the words of Jesus and then discount these miracles, I don't think you can. I think Jesus is saying this is exactly what happened. And it really makes the teaching of Jesus being the brazen serpent even more powerful. That he is that way, and he's the only way. And there's nobody else in the world that could do this. When God said Moses put that serpent up, he didn't say, well, there's other ways out there. We can all get... No, he said, this is the only way that you specifically can be right, is by looking and to me alone. And so that's the message tonight. Now, next week we're going to talk about this plan for deliverance, because it's got a detailed plan. Let's all stand tonight with every head bowed, everybody closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've given us. I pray you'd help us to look to you tonight. We thank you and praise you, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Dave. I'm just going to sing Amazing Grace, I believe. Let's sing Amazing Grace. Y'all ready? Here we go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.